Marianne Leone is an actress, essayist, and screenwriter. She's the author of three memoirs, Jesse, Ma Speaks Up, and most recently, Five Dog Epiphany. She had a recurring role on HBO's The Sopranos as Joanne, Christopher's mother. She's also appeared in films by David O. Russell, Larry David, and John Sayles. Her latest project is a novel. It is Christina, the Astonishing, a coming-of-age novel told from the perspective of an irrepressible girl by the name of Christina, whose encounters with Catholic school and nuns and Italian mothers and small-town Massachusetts all come together in one brewing stew. Again, the name of the book is Christina the Astonishing, and it's a great pleasure to welcome Marianne Leone back to the roundtable. Marianne, thank you very much for being with us. A delight to have you on the program.
Well, I'm delighted and honored to be here. Thank you.
So tell us what brought this project to be of. My understanding is it's been around for a while for you, and you've been working on it for a while. What was the impetus to start it in the first place?
Well, it's had many iterations, and it began as a screenplay, strangely. And then I put it down, and then I went back to it a few years ago and made it into a novel. And my agent kept submitting it, and it languished in the young adult gulag for many years, because apparently that was the thing for publishing at the time, if you had a young protagonist. But this is not, I don't even know what YA is, frankly. because I read everything when I was a kid.
Right.
There was no, So then I made it connected short stories. And then that was the point at which Akashic accepted it for publication. And we worked on, transitioning it back to being a novel. So it's been everywhere.
So the youngster here is Christina Falcone, 13 years old, in the eighth grade. Tell us about Christina.
Well, Christina is someone who, she's kind of an oddball. She doesn't really fit in with everybody, though she does find a group of girls that she becomes friends with. And she's just, trying to figure out the pathways to being a grown-up and finding it really hard because the nuns are scary and bullying. And she's living in an enclave where everyone is from the same small town in Italy, and you are known. People can recognize you by your face. And she eventually just wants to break free. And so that is, it's the story of her coming up and discovering new things.
I mean, and that's so much about adolescence that we want to break free.
Absolutely. And, I drew on my own experiences, which were, I discovered Harvard Square when I was 14. I realized the trolley went from my home in Newton to Harvard Square, where there were bookstores and foreign films. And so it opened up a whole new world for me.
And fewer nuns?
No, I had the nuns all the way through, and it was my own fault because, and Christina suffers from this too, there is the choice of either being with the kids you've been with from kindergarten,
right.
It's comfortable, but you hate it, to the big, huge public school where you're wearing a uniform that you hate in the school that you're going to, but what's the uniform in this new place? Even though you're not having to wear a uniform, what is the uniform? You're going to be meeting all these different kids. What tribe? It's looking for your tribe, which is what happens when you're a kid. You're looking for your tribe.
This is a kid who, as you say, all she wanted as a fourth grader was to become a saint so she could be God's best friend.
Right, right. Well, like Christina, I bought it in the beginning, and it was very hard because I was living with my immigrant family.
I bought it in the beginning.
Because my family were immigrant Italians, and in my case, they sent me to Catholic school because they thought, how good is public school? It's free. In Italy, you pay for everything. So I ended up there, but they were not believers. And this drives Christina insane because she's worried for their souls, their immortal souls, because, her father doesn't go to church and her mother just makes pasta every Sunday instead of going to church. And she feels afraid because she really wants the pasta.
And ultimately, when you say she wants the pasta, what ultimately is she looking for? I mean, it is to get away, and it's to have a certain amount of freedom, but there is also what she knows, right? She's
Yes.
dealing with what she knows.
She's dealing with what she knows, but once she discovers, she makes this friend, Babe, who was an exotic dancer at the Old Howard, in other words, a stripper. And she is at the home for the afflicted blind, elderly blind, and the nun rounds them all up to go and entertain them. And Christina takes tap dancing. And when she gets there, there's a rug. And she, which I think of as a metaphor for my acting career sometimes, but because this actually did happen to me.
Tap dancing on a rug.
Exactly, for blind people. But she meets Babe, and Babe is a huge, she's just opens up all these new horizons that she's never met anybody like this. This is a like a creature from the supernatural to meet Babe. And Babe is a tough bird, you know, who doesn't take any crap and teaches her to smoke and tells her to go get a copy of The Group by Mary McCarthy. And so she leads her on to, you know, not be afraid to take new steps, you know.
And in my reading, I mean, obviously these two characters are learning from each other. And in quite profound ways.
I mean, I really love their relationship. It's really great. And you know, Christina gets hurt by Babe sometimes because Babe, you know, is like, "Oh, you stop whining, stop being so," you know,
Right.
she comes down on her, but I think that their relationship is really cool. I really like it.
And it's still an adult kid relationship. Right. When you put the characters in this, some of it is it, well, it's very funny, and it's just some of it's so absurd, and yet really not all that hard to believe if you've spent any time in a Catholic school or really any school, but I'll say a Catholic school.
With martyrdom was pretty weird, and that is what kept me up nights and keeps Christina up nights, and the obsession with leprosy, which
Yeah.
seemed to be
A big thing. Yeah. Once you decided what you wanted it to be, was it then easier to put all the pieces together?
Yes, because I, you know. One of the things I had done to escape the YA gulag, as I said before, was started to write Christina as older. I started to write, okay, well, what happens? She really wants to be an actor, she decides. And what happens when she decides that? What happens when she enters the big world? Because this is what she's been going for the whole time. Let us see a little bit of what that's like. So that was really fun, you know,
Yeah.
expanding like that.
Was it that, do you think ultimately it was that character's age that was the problem, or that you had
Yes.
Babe in the book?
No, I think, oh, maybe if I knew YA, I could say,
Yeah.
yeah, it was Babe. They don't like her being friends with a stripper. But I don't know because I haven't really, you know, explored YA books. And I
Right.
don't mean to put them down. I just don't know what they're
Sure.
like, you know.
And
You know who
one.
my muse was, Joe? It was Edna O'Brien, even though,
Oh,
you know, because
great.
I'd read The Country Girls, her trilogy,
Yep.
and there were certain things I really related to in that. Even though I know she didn't mean it as a laugh out loud comedy, but it was similar in ways that kept me going.
Yeah, and this is F laugh out loud.
Oh, thank you. I'm glad that achieved that.
How hard is that to write? How hard is it to get that timing, if you will, on the
You know,
page?
people have told me that even my memoirs, like about my son, which is a grief memoir,
Yes.
my first book, that they, you know, they laughed. And Dennis Leary blurbed it and said, "I laughed and then I cried and then I laughed again."
Yes.
And I really do believe that the two are intertwined. I think it's best when there's, you know, even in tragedy, that you can laugh. I honestly do. I think it's, and I've always felt this way. And I wrote comedy at the very, even when I was a starving actor, we all got to, I got together with three friends and we thought, you know what? No agent is going to come down to Avenue D and see Macbeth. Let's write comedy scenes and do something at the West Bank Cafe or Catch a Rising Star and get an agent to come then. And it worked. We wrote sketch comedy. And I think I don't know. It seems to come easily.
And don't you think that, I mean, that comes from a storytelling ability, which
Yes.
I mean, certainly Italians have it, Irish have it.
Yes.
It's that storytelling mode.
And I treasure that as much as I said, as much as I tried to escape my origins, as Christina does, I really benefited as a writer and an actor from the weekly long dinners around the table where everybody told stories.
Yeah.
So I can still remember some of that word for word. So.
And the thing that in my family, what I always found, I mean, I didn't notice it at the time, of course, but now you realize that people were saving up their best material, that it was very performative. Like it was like they
Yes.
were coming to the table ready to tell a really good story.
Yes. Yes. And the Irish are particularly good at this, I must say.
Yeah.
I love the way they use the oppressor's language in a great way.
Yeah. But it is it's fascinating to me because there is that want to entertain, and the best thing that can come out of that is a laugh.
Yes, you're absolutely right. It's really true. And I guess that's what drove me that way,
In having Christina want to be an actress, was there a thought even on your part of, oh, I feel like I should protect this poor child?
No, I wanted to expose her to everything I did. I was doing more, actually.
If you had to deal with it, let her deal
I
with
had a sadistic need to do
it.
that.
And it's and also it's taking place in the 60s, and that is a, I mean, that's, this is cliche, but it's, I mean, that's a character in and of itself. I mean, it's such a part,
Absolutely.
it's very much a product of its time.
Absolutely. It's I just discovered a letter I'd written to my then boyfriend in 1971 about committing civil disobedience, and it's kind of hilarious, but horrifying. So I was an enthusiastic participant, believe me, when we took over the chancellor's office, when I did all of that.
So this is a coming of age novel, and I mean, did it change your view of your childhood at all, of how you were brought up?
All of it has evolved because, my second memoir was about my mother called Ma Speaks Up.
Right.
And I really had to look into it then, because we were at odds the entire time I was growing up. And I had to think about what made us come together and why were we so at odds? Well, it was cultural. It was like a complete, I was an American kid or a wannabe American kid. My mother tossed everything, so I didn't have any journals, nothing. And I kept assiduously kept diaries and all of that. But she found a little diary I had written when I was 10 because it was attached to some drawer she was throwing out. And she said, "You were such a happy child. What happened to you?" And I said, No. I was writing that in the persona of an American girl. It reads like I was living in a sod hut in Nebraska or something. And I mean, in reality, I swore like a sailor,
Marianne's yurt. I do think it's funny that you are, I mean, obviously you're writing this. There's a great chapter in the book called The Inevitable Nun, and you, how many, cast 5 times as a nun in your
Five
acting?
nuns, five. Who looks at me and thinks nun? That's what I don't get. But some of them were pretty hilarious. Like, I was a nun in The Three Stooges, and so was Larry David. And I mean, think about it. We sat opposite each other having lunch every day as nuns. The absurdity of that comes back to me every now and then again. But the best part was at the wrap party, I was in my actual self. And when I sat down opposite him, he didn't recognize me out of my nun persona. So,
The sister had dissolved.
yes.
The idea of I go back to the cover for a second, but there's a nun smoking, and then there's an angelic child praying to the left, and really that is that sort of sums it up, doesn't it? I mean, not just the novel, but just those times that are so weird.
When Johnny Temple, who I adore, the publisher of Akashic, first showed me their first attempt at the cover, it was a hand holding an ice cream cone that was dripping and a lascivious tongue going for the ice cream. And I said, Johnny, the only sex in this is awkward adolescent groping. You're giving people the wrong idea. They're going to be mad.
Yeah.
I said, this is about bursting free, you know, from confines. And so I show him this picture, and then he took it. I thought that it was going to be a drawing, but no.
And the picture was of that's you, I assume.
You know that?
I don't know that. I'm guessing that.
That's good that you're guessing, because it is me. But
yeah, okay, it is you. The nun is not you.
This was me 50 years ago in Dublin acting, and I was playing the part of this actual, you know, kind of saintly nun, but this lust-struck Irish photographer was following me around, and I started vamping, and this is the result.
Wow, that's great. What's it like doing that kind of thing in Dublin?
It was awesome. I just loved it. I mean, I had a real thing about Ireland. I absolutely adored that country, and of course, I only dated Irish boys because they were forbidden. You know, so.
Sure, why not? Yeah. And the other thing too that I love about this is back to tap dancing on a rug for the blind. This
the metaphor.
What was it? I find it interesting that the persistence, though, the persistence of acting, the wanting to keep doing it. And we see that in Christina. You're just okay. You know, get up, dust yourself off and start all over again.
Right. She just is it's this drive to not have to go back to those confines. You know, it's like, no, I think I'll go back to prison. You know, that just couldn't happen. So, I mean, that's what drove her. That and the humiliation of saying, you were right, I can't do this, you know, to her family.
But you never felt that. You had moments, I assume, but always felt you could go on to the next.
Because I was ethnically typed out so much. I was like thinking, oh, my God, I'm never going to get to really work. I mean, I literally had people tell me, you were right for this, but no one would believe you were such and such. You know, if I was playing like some Southern woman or something, it was driving me insane. So I was delighted when The Sopranos came along, and so was my mother, who went everywhere showing my picture to people saying, you watched The Sopranos? You know,
I was just going to ask, how much of that is heritage and how much of that is sexism?
Well, I think it was, I don't know if it was sexism as much as, also, I'm a character actor. I'm not like some pretty little ingenue. I knew that, you know, even my acting teacher said, you're going to work more when you're older. And he was right. You know, he was right.
Because you, and I mean this metaphorically, and I mean this directly, you grow into your voice.
Yes, you do. It's absolutely true. And you know, I did feel much more confident as I got older. And, you know, by the time The Sopranos called, I was ready to answer.
And why wouldn't you be?
No, exactly. The writing was what knocked me out of that. That's how I really related to the writing. I thought what makes this so great is the humor. In addition, you know, you've got the violence and the humor. Oh, my God.
And of course, and I've talked to many people who have had an affiliation with that show, and everyone just said, you know, it was an amazing place to work, and no one had any idea that it would have the legs that it has and continues to have.
I think so. I think you're right. And it was also reunion-like, because everyone had worked with everyone else, because we were all ethnically stereotyped.
And it seems, and it's, you know, it's funny that you mentioned that, though, and this is sad, and yet, but it is very much true, where if you see an Italian-American actor on stage, you will inevitably look and say, oh, I wonder what they've done in the past, and it's always a role in The Sopranos.
Yeah, yes. It's insane. It's really crazy. I mean, could I at least play a Jewish person? I think I could look, you know,
Yes.
but and what I really wanted was to play a high wasp because I could do that accent really well. But and I did get a chance to do it with Chris, because my husband, because we were asked to do love letters, you know,
Oh.
for a fundraiser for Commonwealth Shakespeare here in Boston.
With your husband Chris Cooper.
Yeah.
That is oh, that must have been great. They are Gurney play. So fun.
Oh, yeah.
Very cool.
But I mean, a lot of it crisscrosses. I maintain that acting and writing, I mean, it comes from the same source. If you're not being truthful, it's not going to work. If you're self-conscious, not going to work, right?
Where will you write novels again?
This winter, my plan is to novelize a screenplay that I had that has been optioned, but I feel like, you know what, I should do this because it's about time travel back to the 40s, World War II.
Oh, great.
From the 80s to the 40s. And I think it'll be fun to go there and novelize that.
How are the dogs?
The dogs are just great. We had to farm them out because we had to go to New York for the premiere of History of Sound. And my regular dog sitter is away, and they were with my sister, but who was a champ. She just kept sending me pictures because, believe me, I almost cried. Titi gave me such a look of betrayal when she was went away in the car to stay with her that it haunted me the entire time I was away.
And how many do you have now?
We have two. I could be a crazy dog lady. I could have 10.
Yeah.
That's why I'm afraid, actually.
Yeah, two. Well, two's a good number, though. That's a lot of fun.
Good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The novel is delightful. It's Christina the Astonishing, and it's published by Akashic Books. Marianne Leone, I thank you so much for being with us. It's always an absolute delight to speak to you. I thank you so much for being here, and have fun on the road talking about the book.
Thank you, Joe. It was a delight to laugh with you today.
Be well. Thank you very much. Again,
bye-bye.
The name of the book, Christina the Astonishing by Marianne Leone, published by Akashic. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.